From the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network, it's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez hanging out with you on the Michigan Talk Network, all over the world, on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. It's been updated. The podcasts have been updated. You can reach all of that. Again, our social media, our email, all our contact information is at wildmichiganradio.com. Make sure you hit us up there. The podcast, like I said, all up to date, including this weekend's show. And we want to thank our friends at Not Just Guns, Cedar Street at 127 in Mason, our friends at the United Deer Farmers of Michigan. They've got a very big event coming up March 4th and 5th, their convention happening at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. We would love to see you there. I'll be there for both days. And, of course, Conquest Sense of Davison, Michigan, makers of VS1 and Evercalm. And our friends at the Commemorative Bucks of Michigan also doing an event that will happen March 26th at Soaring Eagle. I will be your MC for that event. So it's going to be a lot of big fun all the way around, man. We're starting to get into that showtime. We've had the Ultimate Fishing Show already, Outdoor Rama going on at the end of this month. We just added a show at the Eagles Hall in Jackson coming up Saturday, April 2nd. That is a sportsman's collectibles show. Our good friend Greg Woodland was on in the first hour of this show talking about that. That's going to be a huge time. So all of these events, again, on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Would love to have you at all of them or just some of them. Love to see you there and say hi. Our good friend David A. Rose, guide with Wild Fishing, joins us right now, outdoor writer. And David, we, you know, it's that time. We got to start purchasing our new fishing licenses. They go on sale Tuesday, March 1st. That is coming up very soon. And the new license season begins April 1st. So a little bit of a lapse there that you can get your new one and still fish on the old one. So how are you, sir?
You know, I'm good. It's actually an exciting time for me to buy my fishing and hunting and all that kind of licenses. A lot of people complain, do whatever, but I just know spring's here, you know, and yeah, we're buying new licenses. I mean, I get everything I can at one time. ORV this and hunting that and fishing this, and it's done. It's out of the way. Got a special spot on my desk. I put everything in case I don't want to lose it, you know, that kind of thing. And, yeah, it's the beginning of a new season.
Now, michigan.gov/DNR licenses, you can get them online. I'm the old school guy. I like to go get mine and put it in my hand and get the 18 miles of plastic. Looks like I just come from the CVS with sports licenses and try and cram them in my wallet.
No, I totally get it. I'm both. I like online just because when it comes to a fishing license, I can print it multiple times. I have one on my truck. I have one on my boat.
Ah.
I have one on my person, just in case. You know, all of a sudden you go to reach for your wallet, and you're like, where's my wallet? Well, at least you've got one in the boat. At least you've got one somewhere. So that's nice. And obviously, you could do a photocopy of your license, and I'm sure most DNR officers would go, oh, okay, and they'll check you right there going, yeah, you did buy a license, because they have the technology now and stuff like that. So, but yeah, but you need to go to the stores too, because, you know, you go in there to get your license. Well, I need a pack of hooks, and I'll get Oh, this is the hot lure. I'll grab that. You know,
spear
so you're
gun.
Helping out the local stores. Yes, spear gun.
We'll talk more about that in a minute. Because right now somebody's shaking their head going, spear gun? What the hell are you talking about?
it's very unique, let's put it that way.
It's going to be a thing, and we're going to talk about that here in a minute. But, you know, with every season comes regulation changes, and you need to be aware of the regulation changes because, as they say, ignorance of the law is absolutely no excuse. And they'll have them in the new digest that comes out, but we've got a few of the changes that came in online, and that's what we're going to talk with you about, because Lake St. Clair and the St. Clair River, the walleye size limit has been increased a little bit. Not a big deal, because the rest of the state has always been 15 inches, but St. Clair, the river, and Lake St. Clair, they've gone from 13 to 15 inches.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah, you know, sometimes size increases are needed just because, well, they say, well, the population's this, that, whatever else. And I mean, I will say this. I know a lot of people like to complain about the DNR. They like to whatever. You know, the biologists who actually study this stuff really do care. I mean, They honestly do care, and they love to fish. Whether man, woman, child, whatever, they love to fish. They love to hunt. They want to see the best experience for everyone. So, yeah, is it a perfect system? No, but sometimes a size increase is needed.
Yeah, and is there? I don't know what the growth rate of walleye is. So, I mean, could there be a difference in 2 inches in your class?
Definitely. So on average, when you say average, this is inland lakes, Great Lakes, everything. So when you average it out, it takes a walleye approximately 3 years to get to 15 inches. Okay, so that's usually, it's going to depend on food sources and what they're eating and how much they're eating and all that kind of stuff. So there are slight changes in there. But on average, 3 years for a fish to reach 15 inches, which is the average creel size limit here in Michigan.
Really, that's not that bad. That's pretty fast growth. I mean, should they make it from fry to the adulthood, that's really fast growth.
It really is. I mean, you think about it. I mean, and what's amazing is Great Lakes salmon. You look at a Chinook, which on average is 4 years old when it comes back to the rivers to spawn. So you've got a 30-pound fish. They did that in 4 years.
Man, sounds like COVID time.
I can gain 30 pounds in a month, you know, but.
I was going to say, sounds like my COVID time off.
Exactly. Everyone's, yes.
Oh, my gosh. David A. Rose, our guest here. This is one I thought kind of funny because I'd never heard this fish called that. In Lake Superior, the round whitefish. Yep. I'm like, What is a round whitefish? I'm like, oh, a Menominee. Okay, I get
Menominee.
It now.
Menominee. That's right. I absolutely love catching Menominee. I grew up catching Menominee here in the Northwest Lower Peninsula. A lot has changed, and the reason I say I used to fish them, they're in Lake Michigan, and parts of Lake Huron because of all the environmental changes with the zebra mussels, quagga mussels, this, that, everything else, and the food sources, and, you know, invasive gobies coming and stealing your bait and this and that. Menominee are difficult to catch, but the last few I've caught have been in Lake Superior, and, yeah, they are actually increasing the creel limit so anglers can, when they're out fishing, can keep an extra 10 Menominee.
That's pretty cool. Now, let me ask you this, because, you know, as many times I go to Gustafson's up there in Brevoort, you know, yep. I'm all about buying the smoked whitefish, and that between them and the one in St. Ignace, whose name's escaping me, Manly's. I dig both of their whitefish. Those are the only two places I'll buy it. But I always see the Menominee, and I guess, you know, I've never bought it. So now that I find out it's a round whitefish, taste-wise, are we looking similar?
You're looking very similar. I mean, it is a type of whitefish. I mean, there are several species of whitefish throughout the country, North America. I mean, you got the mountain whitefish, which is obviously still related, and you got, like you say, the round whitefish, also known as Menominee. You've got the lake whitefish, which we are so familiar with here in the Great Lakes. I can never pronounce this fish's name correctly, but up in Alaska, the Inkatu or whatever it is, it's like the 15-pound version of a whitefish, and they get them in these rivers and stuff, and that's actually one of my bucket list fish. But anyway, so there's several species of whitefish, and yeah, I mean, they are a type of whitefish, and when you really get into the genetics of whitefish and all that kind of stuff, They're actually closely related into the salmonid family.
Interesting.
So they're not like cousins of salmon or whatever, but
right.
they are there's some stuff in there.
All right. Well, we're going to talk more with David A. Rose, and keep spearfishing in mind, because that's our next topic here on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Cross the line at an altitude time, in a state 94 more miles through the Great Lakes State. Turn it up so the bus ain't late, another night in Michigan.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. All over the Great Lakes State, being brought to you by our friends and Not Just Guns and Conquest Sense, United Deer Farmers of Michigan. And real quickly, I want to give a shout-out, hats off to the Michigan DNR, the Diener officers, for nabbing a guy out of Decatur, Michigan, who was practicing some very unethical hunting activities, and he has let's just say he's pled guilty to a few things. 33-year-old Justin Ernst pled guilty on Monday in Van Buren County's 36th Circuit Court for illegally taking 9 trophy deer last year. He has pled guilty to a felon in possession of a firearm, multiple counts of illegally taking deer. He'll pay $25,000 restitution and serve anywhere from 6 months to 5 years in jail, and have his license, hunting license privileges revoked for life. In my opinion, not quite enough, but hell, it's a start. Thank you to the Michigan DNR officers for catching him, and the tipster that called it in when he took 2 more. He already had 7 and taken 2 more. So, you know, you're robbing from everybody and not just, just one person. So, again, thanks to the Michigan DNR for doing that. Back to David A. Rose right now. David, we've been alluding to spearfishing in Michigan, which now on Lake Huron and Lake Michigan, we have new underwater spearfishing regulations.
We do, and this is something brand new coming out, and it's only in parts of Lake Michigan, a good majority of Lake Huron. Here's the deal. I've seen, like everyone else, you get on social media, next thing you know, you're YouTubing this, and all of a sudden you're watching people in Michigan spearfish of whatever fish. And it is, a lot of people didn't realize you could not do this in the state, okay? Because it's a pretty active thing in the salt water. You know, people dive down, they get a grouper or, whatever. And, that's their catch. They speared underwater, while they're donning, the whole scuba gear and all that kind of stuff. There's been a lot of – and so now all of a sudden we're seeing something new here where this might be – it's going to be allowed in certain parts.
Right, and this is what – your opportunities to spear walleye, northern pike, and lake trout underwater, and you have to have the spearfishing license, which is complimentary, and you also need the DNR sport card. Okay, and again, online, michigan.gov/DNR licenses. But now there are certain areas of those waters, when they warm up a little, that you can underwater spearfish here in Michigan. And again, dude, I can see spearfishing saltwater. Some of the fish are more broad, even bigger. Hats off to you if you can spear a walleye or a pike underwater. And lake trout, really? Don't they run kind of deep?
Well, I mean, they will come shallow and stuff like that. But, there's just going to be this huge controversial thing. Spearing, you might as well use dynamite, blah, blah, blah. I have been with people in pike spearing experiences, and I've also gone sturgeon spearing a couple times. Haven't even seen one of those, so that's not an issue. But and anytime I'm with, I have never seen a pike speared in person. Now, one time we did catch 2 pike on tip-ups that were on the outskirts of the spearing shack. Spearing is not easy. Now, I'm not saying yay or nay. it is not easy. It's just plain old not easy. And that's when you're in a shack and you're under the cover of a dark house and you got this big hole and the fish can't see you, but you can see them. So now, being in their realm, being underwater, getting close enough where you could shoot this spear gun off into a whatever, I don't know. I mean, I've never done it. Easier, harder, are they going to take every fish? But it's something that's going to be tried out,
It is. I'm really looking forward to somebody getting, information on this, because this is going to be a new thing. Somebody's going to get really good at it fast, and there are going to be many more that just shake their head going, okay.
Right. We all have different ways we like to catch fish or, spear fish or do whatever fish. How's this? I have a smelt spear, because on the inland lakes of Michigan, a lot of people don't realize this, I can legally spear smelt. And every time I go out smelt fishing at night, and we got the underwater light down and blah, 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 I drill my three holes, and then I have an ice saw. I mean, this cost me a lot of money between the spear and the, the ice saw and this and that. And in a decade, I have speared 4 smelt.
Wow.
4.
It's probably 4 more than I've seen.
Right. But, we go out and we catch a lot more than we spear. So, again, spearing is not easy. People just think, like I said, it's just, you see a fish, boom.
Right.
You got it. Well, it's not that easy.
Now, David A. Rose is our guest here on the show. Inland waters, rainbow trout, steelhead possession. New daily possession limit of 1 rainbow trout / steelhead has been put into effect on some Type 3 and 4 streams and will be effective from March 15th to May 15th inclusive, and it will go into effect on March 15th, 2022. Type 3 and Type 4 streams, explain that.
Oh, well, obviously anybody can look, and I always have to go back because, rules change, and I got to look at everything again. But, basically, you're on the Manistee River, let's say. You're fly fishing, you're whatever fishing, you're bait fishing. Well, you get to keep 1 fish a day instead of 3. Simple as that.
Yeah, it's changed. Yeah, and 1 is, I don't know. How do you think that's going to affect the guiding and things like that? I mean, you can catch and release. I get that. But, we like to keep.
Yeah, we like to keep. But this is also new. We have to look at the, long-term or short-term even, the mid-term outcome. Is it really going to help a population?
Right.
Is catching and releasing, and you've got a 10% mortality rate right there, even if you release a fish? There's a lot of different aspects that come to this. Was this something? It was more of a social law that came enacted versus biological.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Right. Well, yeah, again, you can always check too throughout the course of the year, michigan.gov/DNR digests, with things going up to date, because like this is a kind of a short term thing is what it looks like. But still, know the rules before you go out and participate, just to be safe, so you know exactly what's going on. And I know, David, you're going to be on the road with Outdoorama coming up here at the end of February, and of course, hope to see you at that or the Ultimate Sports Show in Grand Rapids, man. But either way, always great talking with you.
Yep, I appreciate it, and I look forward to the shows. I look forward to hearing, or seeing all your listeners out there.
All right,
come
man.
Up. Hey, hey.
Appreciate it. David A. Rose joining us here on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network. Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Very happy to have you here. Thanks to our friends, United Deer Farmers of Michigan, Conquest Sense, Not Just Guns, all that information on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. You can find my contact information there as well, my phone number directly to me, also my email, and find out where we're going to be. all of the events that we will be at and attending, would love to have you there, are on the website right on the front page. So please join us, and we are updating our affiliate list as we speak. And of course, our newest group of listeners is up in the Midland, Saginaw Bay City area, WLUN. Thank you so much to ESPN Radio, WLUN up in Midland, for having us on as well, because that's a great area. I'm up in that area all the time with my in-laws that live up there, and it's beautiful, beautiful cities. So thanks so much for allowing us to be part of your day, 5 to 7 every Saturday morning. And right now, we are going to do a group call, because the more, the merrier, right? We're going to speak with some folks. Hunt to Heal is the name of the organization, and I'm going to be honest, I happen to catch him while watching good friends Jimmy and Jenny on Michigan Out of Doors, and I caught it just for a little bit. I said, you know what? This is something we can go to and do on radio. It'll still transcend from radio to the listener quite well, because this is the type of information that needs to get out there, which makes it easier for everyone. And I mean everyone, to get out into the outdoors and to enjoy, or keep enjoying, what we all love about Michigan. And I've got Carson Nienhuis with me. I've got Kim Monks. I've got Josh Corley with me, all from Hunt to Heal, all with different jobs, if you will, with their passion up there. And Carson, welcome. I'm going to welcome you first, because Kim says you're the guy that I need to talk to, because this has been your baby. You're the inspiration for this. Welcome, sir. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, because I get to talk to you guys, because I've never talked to you before.
You.
This is cool. Carson,
thanks for having us on the show.
Oh, no, not at all, man. How did this, how did it all get started with you with Hunt to Heal?
Well, it got started, it all started with a motorcycle accident. I got a motorcycle accident a little over 5 years ago, and it left me paralyzed from the neck down. From there, through recovery, I went through some depressive times, being at home, and my buddies got me through that time with recovery, and a lot of that was dealt with some time out in the woods and spent hunting, and there was a lot of important time spent out in the woods that got me through that. So I wanted to do something for others that they could do the same. I wanted to build a place that people with a disability can get out and do the same thing, and still go out and enjoy the love that they had for the outdoors and Mother Nature and just the beauty for the wilderness.
Sure. You know, Carson, so, I have to commend your buddies, first of all, for taking you out, getting you out, and not, you know, just going on. You know what I mean? Because I know from friends that have been in similar situations that sitting there and thinking is probably the worst thing that could happen for you to
yes.
do.
Yes. That idle time is where I started, you know, getting depressed. And luckily my friends noticed that. My friends and family. I had a lot of people step in and help out, but I'm fortunate for the people in my life that did that.
I can't imagine, you know, as I'm sure, I'm just going to say more able-bodied people to say, I can't imagine that, you know, 1 minute you're riding your bike, you know, and enjoying it, and the next minute everything changes from that 1 second in life. And I've always said that whatever my path is, it's my path, and I'm going to try and make the best of it. But I can't say for sure. You know what I mean? I can't say that I would be as strong as you or have the, I know I would have the support group, but I can't say I would be as strong as you were to do the things you've done thus far that we've even talked about.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to say it until you're in that position, and you just have to be. You have to be. You have to put yourself through it, and luckily the things that I've been through my life have helped me be a strong person. The things, the sports, the the way I've was raised has helped me be a strong person. So, a lot of that growing up, helped me get through this.
Carson Einheis joins us here, Hunt to Heal. Get Outdoors With Us as your website. I'm looking at that, and that's us meaning you, someone who has suffered a devastating accident that has altered your life. You're now getting outdoors, and you have this vision to share it with other people. Now, you guys have a facility up in Bitely, correct?
Correct. Yep, it's up in Bitely, Michigan. It's 650 acres. It's about a square mile. So it's a big, pretty big piece of property up there. It's right off 14 mile there and 37.
Okay.
Yep, 37, 14 and 37 there, kind of just north of Legends Ranch.
And what you're doing is you're getting people, you know, out hunting. I mean, you have made this facility to get them, you make it a little easier for them to traverse and get out in the woods.
Yeah, we made it, the whole cabin is fully, it's all zero clearance, so there's no steps. Everything's accessible. All the blinds are accessible. All the showers, the bathrooms, the toilets are made for wheelchairs. It's really easily made for paraplegics, quadriplegics, all sorts of other disabilities. It's pretty well made for anyone that's in anyone with a disability can get out there and get out and into a blind and see some deer.
Now, I know you've got Kim Monks with you. You've got Josh Corley with you. We'll get to them here in a second. But I listened to you in just 5 years, which I'm sure can seem like an eternity to have your life change. But to have progressed and had this facility from sight to fruition, dude, it's got to be just an amazing accomplishment for you and all involved.
It is. It's come a long ways real quick, but it's not just me. I've had a huge crew working on it together. So like, I can't take all the credit for it by any means. I've had a lot of help with this. So, it's been a big group effort, but it's been a great group effort. So it's cool. I'm proud of it.
Well,
I'm really proud of it.
I can only imagine. I mean, look, man, you just inspire me just talking to you. And we have a whole other segment. We're going to talk with Kim. We're going to talk with Josh. Carson, hang on the line because we'll talk to you. Fortunately, we got all three of you on the conference here on Wild Michigan. So please stick around. It's coming your way next on the Michigan Talk Network.
Hi, this is Cuz Strickland with Mossy Oak, and you're listening to Wild Michigan with Duran Martinez.
It sits above the mantle on a couple rusty nails, and it's worth a bunch of money, but it damn sure ain't for sale. The good Lord only knows all the stories it can tell. Granddaddy's gone.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Very happy to have you here. We were speaking with Carson Einheis. Hunt to Heal is the organization and the place up in Bitely, Michigan, where people with physical disabilities are encouraged and helped to get outdoors, get out hunting, and enjoying this great state we call Michigan. And there are a few people that we have with us today from Hunt to Heal. The other is Kim Monks. Kim, I mean, I'll be honest, I watched some video with Carson, when we don't think about what he has gone through or the daily things he goes through, the couple hours it takes to get ready in the morning just to get, you know, going, the difficulties, you know, how did you see this and how did you get involved?
Well, I got involved because it takes a lot to get a nonprofit going with the volunteers that you need to help out, the money that we need to help get our hunters out there at no cost to them. You know, and Carson's passionate about hunting, but I'm passionate about causes and making a difference in people's lives, as is Carson on that too. But, you know, it takes a lot of work. So we have, I oversee all of the fundraising efforts and, you know, we have to do things like golf outings and walks and get out in the community and get Carson out there telling his story to get that support from the community.
Now, I know you've got a golf outing coming up, and it's nice we all are allowed to gather together again. I say with hands in the air and a funny look on my face. Golf coming up June 3rd, and this is going to benefit the Hunt to Heal project you guys have.
Exactly. This is actually our second year. We were able to do one last year. We
nice.
Chose golf because we figured we would probably be able to do that with the pandemic, and we were. It was amazing. We sold out really quickly, and we were told it was one of the best golf outings people had been to. So I think everyone was really excited to get out and be able to come together for Hunt to Heal.
Now, I know mobility, getting outdoors, is not easy, and it's not cheap. And the money you guys raise goes to like motorized chairs. I mean, these are nice looking chairs, but they're not cheap.
No, they aren't. We actually are currently fundraising to be able to purchase a track chair. We have some other equipment that we use right now too, but with all the different kinds of disabilities, we like to have options, and we'll slowly add to our options of adaptive equipment as we grow. We've only had our first hunting season this last fall, so we have things like Sip and Puff where you can blow to pull the trigger and different kinds of chairs and needs that we'll have, gun mounts and whatnot for different kinds of disabilities.
Now, what is probably the biggest need that you're looking for right now, or you're looking for funding for, or maybe we have somebody out there that could probably help?
Yeah, funding is our number one need, just because we do provide a whole weekend experience to our hunters at no cost to them or to our volunteers. We provide all of the meals and anything that they need. And so funding will also help to cover costs of seeds in food plot maintenance and trail maintenance and lodge maintenance, and then just general supplies for hunting and for the lodge too. But we do have volunteer needs. We do have a lot of people, luckily, that do come and help out with land management activities, cutting down wood, helping with our events like the golf outing, and even just general office sort of work.
Now, if you want to get involved, you can go to hunt2heal.com. There's a lot of great information there. Kim, we really really hope you guys get the funding you need and the volunteers as well, because it takes people and money to run something like this. And I know, trust me, how difficult that can be sometimes with everybody being as busy as we are today.
Exactly.
Now, we're going to go over to Josh Corley. Josh, welcome to the show. How are you, sir?
Wonderful. Thanks for having us. We really appreciate it.
Not at all. Like I said, it's, you know, I'll be honest, sometimes it's hard for me with probably nothing, not much going on in Michigan, go, what am I going to talk about? Who am I going to have on? And it was just a chance that I had happened to see you guys on there. We've had, you know, other groups like Project Healing Waters has been here that have worked with combat wounded veterans, getting them out fly fishing. But this is something a little bit closer to home, something, you know, that maybe we know somebody in a position like this that used to hunt, is unable to hunt, and maybe would like to get out again, because we know there are a lot of different types of equipment out there, but finding the funding and finding the people, like Kim said, is difficult. And what exactly is your, what do you do with Hunt to Heal?
Well, I'm very lucky. I get to deal with Carson and work side by side as the operation manager and work on the property. Get to work with our hunters that are coming up to the property along with their guests, really just to ensure their experience is the best as possible. I get to go up there with, like I said, I really enjoy working out in the woods. So that's always been a passion of mine. So it's really a dream job working with these guys and getting our property ready for our hunters, ensuring that they're going to have the best experience possible in the blind and in the lodge. It takes a lot of work, and always looking for volunteers. And we have a couple of days coming up in April 2nd, where we do have a day where people can come and volunteer, just go to the website and fill out a form for us, and always looking for help.
Now, tell us, I mean, you probably cannot explain in words, not so much a successful hunt, but the success in getting somebody that needs that extra help out into the outdoors again?
The deer are a bonus.
Yeah.
Yeah. The deer itself is a bonus. Just some memories that we had from the past season, a couple of our hunters hadn't been out in over 10 to 15 years and actually in the woods. We don't realize the boundaries that these hunters have, and to really see the looks on their faces when the sun comes up and they start seeing a couple deer in front of them, or the excitement when they get back to the lodge of getting out, you just can't match that. It's a wonderful experience for everyone involved.
You know, I can imagine just getting out, seeing the sun come up and hearing the world come alive for the first time in no matter how long. It's got to be just the beginning of the reward itself.
Hard to beat God's country, isn't it?
Well, you know what? It's funny how many people just look at the Midwest and go, eh. You know what I mean? We're kind of like the country's attic. It's there. It's nice, but we don't get there that often, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
But believe me, I'll take it that way. And Kim and Josh, you know, we really thank you guys for the work that you put in. We know you call it a job, but at the same time, it can't be too much like work when you see the reward.
No, not much at all. It's pure enjoyment, that's for sure.
Now, I want to go back to Carson real quickly. We got a couple minutes left in the segment. Carson, did you ever think you'd see something this quickly or at all? I mean, it's incredible to see what has all been put together here.
No, I'm pretty surprised. I didn't think it was going to be able to be put together this quick, but fortunately, we got a board of people put together, and everyone was excited about the idea, and people were behind me on it, and we got it done. So,
well, you know, it's
cool,
and it speaks to me of the type of person that you are, too. That many people want to get involved. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It seems to me you were doing something right to begin with, and maybe, you know, in some way, shape, or form that. Yeah, I don't know, but we all have a calling, it seems, in one way or the other, and maybe this was yours.
I think so. I really do.
Let me ask you a tough question. And this is a very tough question, and I even hate to ask. Would you change anything?
No, I wouldn't.
Okay.
I wouldn't. It's weird.
That is weird, and I'm going to have a hard time finishing off this segment after that answer, buddy, because, you know, I'm sure there's other people out there that would, but I don't know. That's a tough one to follow up with, to be honest with you. That's you're an incredible dude, man. I'm glad I had this opportunity to talk with you guys on here. Again, if you want to volunteer, you want to donate, you want to help these guys get the things that they need, hunt. Two heal.com. Your website's loaded with information and lots of very cool events coming up that you can be a part of. Is there anything you guys want to finish off with? Because I still, like I said, I got about a minute left in the segment and don't want to waste it.
You know, I would like to add that one bonus we found of the program is that the effect that it has on the caregivers and the families of our hunters as well, when they get to come and experience a whole weekend respite for themselves and get treated as well. It just improves everybody's mental well-being.
Well, Kim, Carson, Josh, Hunt to Heal, we thank you guys so very much. We will have you back on in the future as we get closer to the golf outing to remind people, and by all means, join us. Again, would you please? We'd love to talk to you, and thank you guys very much for having us with you today.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Absolutely. Wild Michigan Radio is where you can find us on the internet. Pick up the podcast absolutely free, and thanks to Not Just Guns, Conquest Sense, and the United Deer Farmers of Michigan here on the Michigan Talk Network.